He would not be long for this world. Hunched forward almost 45 degrees, his body braced against the cold January wind, his big tattered coat billowing behind. His legs trembled with each plodding step. The coming dawn did not remove much of the gloominess these public gardens boasted at night. Strips of colored paper and beads that welcomed the new year 2 weeks before were still scattered over the ground, giving the appearance of colorful strands of hair and lost teeth. Here was one of the garden squares around London that better classes shunned and appreciated. Shunned because it was a place of blackguards and outcasts. Appreciated because these blackguards and outcasts, collected on the Wapping side of the Thames, kept out of the way of respectable society. When respectable persons did have a need best served in North Woolwich, they believed themselves invisible here. Even in midwinter cold, ladies in elaborate, multicolored dresses walked along the elm-lined paths in pairs, objects of desire and subjects of contempt and fear for causing desire. Most of the girls who passed in sight of the plodder felt pity for him, though few pitied these girls. They did not know him. He was no frequenter of these gardens. One thing stood out. Despite his terrible condition and his ratty clothing, the rest of him, his face plump and round, crystal blue eyes, silvering hair, smooth skin, all reeked of easier living somewhere else. Somewhere else must have been lovely. He was like Atlas, stooped, about to lose his grip on the world. The girls kept away, because whatever else the hunchbacked plodder might be, he was in trouble that they could not afford. That explains why none came close enough to hear him utter, "God, have mercy upon me!" Before his head drooped farther down, a loud crack like a whip followed. Then he was a heap on the ground. Another man approached at a stately pace. This man appeared somewhat rotund in his long dark coat and had a beard that extended some 6 inches below his chin, where it slightly cleaved in two. He lowered one knee into the rain-matted grass next to the body. Full red lips quivered from under the black bristles of his moustache. He pressed his strong fingers to his own eyes as he wept. A crowd of the bolder girls and other onlookers began to gather. Some men hastily buttoned up vests and straightened hats. The weeping man felt their unwelcome presence. His hazel gray eyes darted from one face to the next. He threw his hood over his head and down upon his broad brow and began to walk away. Another onlooker in the crowd, a shorter man with a wide, crisp moustache, trailed behind him.
"Dante? Dante? Where have you... Isn't that you?"
he called after him. Simultaneous cries of distress, meanwhile, multiplied over the crumpled-up man.
"Is the bloke dead? Look at that!
It's too dark, what?
Don't you see? Over there! Writing on that thing!"
A candle was secured as the sightseers closed in on the spectacle. They pointed in horror. The dead man was no hunchback, as he'd appeared from a distance. There was a massive stone that encircled his neck and back. It had put so much pressure on him that it had snapped his neck like a carrot. Someone feeling very bold, nobody remembered who, as recorded later in the reports of police interviews, reached out and touched the side of the man's head, which wobbled on his limp neck like jelly. The crunch made by the bones as his head rolled would not be forgotten by any who heard it. Etched into the stone that had crushed his neck were words. Some people scrambled away from death, and others fled the police whistles that broke through the chill morning air. Those who remained tried to make out the words carved in the stone. One girl, with long hair to her elbows, whispered in a husky voice,
"Latin."
"Can you read it, sweetheart, indeed?" scoffed a man. "Fancy that! A scholar out here in petticoats and torn hose."
"'Tis true,"
another girl chimed in, with a touch of awe toward her friend, pointing out that the first girl was half Italian, half Flemish, or something similar, and knew many tongues. The others cleared space for her. She hesitated, inhaling a breath of courage before translating the three carved Latin words into English.
Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord.